Good morning. It's great to be with you, brethren. And wonderful singing. Joyous singing would be a good word to describe it. Oftentimes when we think of Paul, we may have some understanding of him, but not fully thinking about the whole man that is Paul. It may be a true understanding, but we need some more understanding. When you think of Paul, we often think of Paul preaching in the synagogues. You think of Paul getting up in the synagogue on Saturday, on the Sabbath day, which is when they would have met in the synagogue because he was preaching to people of the Jewish faith. Getting up and preaching on synagogue Sabbath day. And you think to yourself, he was an evangelist. He was an evangelizer preaching the gospel. He was a preacher. He was a minister. And you think, I can't be one. That's not me because I don't get up on Sunday and preach. And so I'm not one that evangelizes. I'm not one that's going to be teaching people the gospel because I don't do that. Or you think to yourself, I'm a woman. And we're not supposed to get up and publicly proclaim the words of God on Sunday. So I don't evangelize. I don't preach or teach the gospel. And then there's the other side of Paul that we often think of, and that's the tent maker. You think of Paul, and this is kind of the way our mind runs. We kind of think, Paul ran out of money. He didn't have enough support, and so he started making tents. And so all day long he went and made tents, day after day, week after week, month after month. He got enough money together, and then he's back in the synagogue preaching. Both of those things are true, but they're not the whole truth. And so when you think about Paul, you might say, well, I'm the Paul that's making tents. I work day after day after day because I'm not the one that is preaching and I'm making money so I can eat. Or you think, I'm not the one that's public, so I'm not spreading the gospel. But both of those aren't quite the whole truth of Paul. Our main text comes from Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, verse 16 and 17. After we leave this passage, we'll look at other examples, but if you want to see that it came from the Bible, it's Acts 17, 16 and 17. Verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, and he saw the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. A little bit different side of Paul than we're used to seeing, and the side I want us to think about and also us to take home today, and that is, yes, he preached in a synagogue on the Sabbath day, but listen to the second part of that. And in the marketplace daily with those that happened to be there. Marketplace might not be a word that you use in your everyday conversation. Sometimes we think about with certain businesses you might go to market. Very accurate. That's pretty much what's being described here. Also, sometimes you think about, we've shortened it. You might go to Kmart. Walmart. You also think about when you go to other grocery stores, they might be called a supermarket. That's what's being described here, is the place that people would go to buy and to sell their goods. And so when you think of Paul, the tent maker, selling his tents, that would be at a market. When you think of Paul, the tent maker, buying his goods, buying what he needed to make tents, buying what he needed for groceries for the week, or whatever it was he was doing, he would buy it at a market. And so now when you combine those two ideas, that's what we have being displayed here, is that Paul, the man that preached on Sabbath day, was also the man that while he was at work all day long, sewing tents and selling them, the man that after work got over with was buying his groceries or buying what he needed to make the tents the next day, he was always evangelizing. And so we see from Paul what I like to term marketplace evangelism. See, marketplace evangelism is what we do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then he preached publicly. Each one of us can and should do marketplace evangelism. Let me draw your mind to another illustration, if you don't mind. And kind of like we were talking sports last night, it seems like I always wind up talking sports a little bit. We were talking sports last night, and we're bringing up different teams. The same manner in which some people think Android and Apple, but if you don't like my Apple illustration, my wife here is Android, so then I could just change the illustration. I want you to think about on the iPhones, they have something that's called Health. The Health Checker app. And this Health Checker app is supposed to tell you how healthy you are, which any good doctor or nurse would tell you just by knowing how much you walk and how much exercise you do. It doesn't really tell you how healthy, but it helps you. Helps you know what you're doing. And so it tells you the main thing that it does is it keeps track of how much you're walking, how much you're running, how many steps you take each day. Well, about a month ago, I was training for a 10K. And as I was training for this race, I saw the same thing that I saw a year ago when I trained for the 10K. And that is, on this Health Tracker app, they have a chart, a graph. And so when I start walking and running, you see a big spike in the graph, and then it comes back down. And so they tell you to run, exercise, 3 5-days a week, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, because where are we going to be at on Wednesday? So that's when we do Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, right? Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, you're exercising, and so what do you see? Giant spike, fall down, giant spike, fall down, giant spike. But here's the interesting thing. On those days that I wasn't planning on running, it still went up. On Mondays and Wednesdays and Sundays and Fridays, I was higher than I was the week before. Why is that? I started thinking to myself, why is that? Why was I exercising more on my non-exercise day than I did the week before when I just sat on the couch? Now, the answer is, well, here's the quick answer, and that is I was sore. When I'm sore the next day, I don't want to just sit on the couch because it makes me sore. But also, when I wake up the next day and I know I'm training for a race, I walk to the church building instead of driving that week. And so all week I'm walking to the church building instead of driving. It's only 2 blocks. Don't think I'm walking 10 miles. It's 2 blocks. But, you know, on non-race weeks, I might drive that 2 blocks. And so I start walking to the church building, and I'm feeling sore. And so halfway through the day, as I take a break, I might walk up and down the stairs and things like that. And so I see that every day I'm doing some exercise when I'm planning on exercising. That's what I want to think about this week. Here's my challenge to you. I'm going to start with my challenge and normally end with my challenge. I want you to know from the get-go. Just like an exercise app, I want you to plan 3 to 5 days of marketplace evangelism. But what you're going to find is, on your other days, once you get used to doing it, you'll still be doing it. When you're checking into a hotel, when you're having a conversation at 10 o'clock at night with your concierge, you find you're doing marketplace evangelism and you didn't even realize you're doing it. Why? Because you plan on doing it other days. It becomes normal on every day. All right, let's look at 3 different ways we can do marketplace evangelism. The first way is that we seek. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. When Jesus meets his first disciples, verse 38. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and he remained with them that day. And that was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon Peter, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. We have a lot of details in this passage about Simon Peter. Jesus renames him. Jesus talks to him. He describes him. And before any of that happens, before Peter ever arrives on the scene, do you know what Andrew was being described as Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Why? Because the gospel writers, just like us, know the importance and the great works of Peter. Peter did a lot for the Lord. He did wonderful things. But before he actually ever did those, what happened? His brother sought him. His brother sought him out. We need to learn to seek in marketplace evangelism. Let's look at this. First of all, it says that he came unto Jesus, and after talking to Jesus, verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, do you have some people in your life, a brother, sister, mother, father, best friend, co-worker that you see every day? Do you have some people in your life that you know need Jesus? They need to know about His gospel. You think about it often. You say, this person I love and they need to know. And so what do? You seek them out. And you seek them out, and when you find them, what do? Well, what did he do? And he brought him to Jesus. He said, we have found the Messiah, which is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. What do you do when you're bringing someone to Jesus? What do you tell them? Well, what did he tell them? He said, this man is the Messiah. See, the message we preach, sometimes the message scares people. People say, sometimes a brother or sister will say, it's too hard for me to teach someone the gospel because I don't know every answer. I don't know everything in the Bible. I don't know every detail. I haven't figured out everything in Song of Solomon or Revelation yet, and so I can't preach the gospel. What do you teach someone? Well, what did he teach them? He told them, I have found the Messiah. Our familiar account, Acts chapter 8. You remember Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and wonderful account, it says that he was going down the road and the Lord sent him to the man. He sought the man out. Verse 35 and tells us what he said to that man. But first he had to run. He had to run up to that chariot. He sought the man. What did he preach, though? Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus to him. I think each and every one of us, if we are here today, we are here because we know about Jesus. We love Jesus. We care about Jesus. We've studied about Jesus. We love Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. We're following after Jesus. We should know Jesus, right? We know Jesus. See, sometimes we get so worried about the Song of Solomon or Revelation and say, I can't go up and tell a word to a person because I don't know every single verse in the whole Bible and what it means. What did Andrew say to Peter? I have found the Messiah. What do you say to someone you seek out, your brother, sister, mother, best friend, co-worker that you've known for a long time you need to say something to? Go to them, seek them, preach Jesus. You see, as he preached Jesus, as they came unto a certain water, the eunuch said unto Philip, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Preaching Jesus also includes salvation, baptism. How is that? How can, if all you know is Jesus, how can you preach baptism? Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and following. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, and the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You see, if you seek someone out and all you tell them is Jesus, that also includes salvation. How? Because baptism is the like representation of His death. You die to your sins. How many of us have a past we want to forget? How many people, if you went up to them in the world and you said, is there anything you ever regret in your life? I bet your brother, sister, mother, best friend that you're seeking has something they want to get rid of in their life. You can bury it. That's like the start of every 60 Minutes or every type of show, right? Someone tried to bury their past. We can actually bury our past because Jesus' blood in baptism gets rid of it. And we leave that old man in the water, just as Jesus was buried under the earth in the tomb. And then just as Jesus was resurrected, and after His resurrection, He was a different man. You remember Mary walks up to Him and says unto Him, Adonai, calls Him Lord, calls Him teacher. And when she talks to Him, He says, don't cling to Me, I have not yet ascended to My Father. After His resurrection, things were different. He was ready to go to heaven. And you see, after our resurrection, things are different for us. We're clean, we're ready to go to heaven. We're living a different style of life. And so Andrew told his brother, I have found Jesus. Also in John chapter 1, we have one more seeker. Let's look at this. John chapter 1, verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. Chapter 1, verse 43. He found Philip and said to him, follow Me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael. Philip found Nathanael. Previous, Andrew sought his brother Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, what do you preach? When you go out and seek somebody, what do you tell them? What's the complicated, difficult message that none of us could ever do on Monday? It's so hard. He told him, Jesus. See, we can all do that, can't we? Let's read it. We have found Him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And what did Philip say to him? Philip said to him, come and see. That's a very difficult subject. A person says to you, how can I do this? I don't understand it. It's too complicated. Come and see. It's simple, can't we all say that? Come and see. Come with me, I'll show you Jesus. His death, His burial, His resurrection. Our death, burial, and resurrection in baptism. You remember in Acts chapter 9, Saul on the road. And as he's on that road, there's the wonderful, miraculous intervention of God. But that wasn't what saved him. God tells him something to do. Was it God told him the plan of salvation? No, God told him to go, and you will be told what you must do. Who told him what to do? Someone that sought him. Chapter 9, verse 10 says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and he said to the and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here am I, Lord. And so the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Damascus coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Ananias sought out Paul. So the first thing we need to do in marketplace evangelism, as you think to yourself, what is something I can do 1 to 3 times this week? One thing you can do is seek. Seek out someone that you know needs the gospel and preach the uncomplicated message of Jesus, His death, His burial, His resurrection. We can die to our sins, be buried in the water, wash away our sins, and resurrect a new person. First thing we need to do is seek. Second, we need to meet. We need to meet people wherever we are. John chapter 4, verse 28. John chapter 4, verse 28. Then the woman left her water pot. I hear all the turning, so I'm going to let y'all turn. And I just realized we don't have context. You need to know the context. So let me give you context while you turn. We have a woman. There you go. The woman left her water pot. No, I'll tell you more than that. We have a woman, and she was living in sin. And when she was talking to Jesus, she had so many husbands that a normal human person would have been confused by it. But Jesus knew that the one you're with is not your husband. He knew details about her life that normal people wouldn't know. But how did all that come about? Jesus stopped for a water break. Jesus went to the well to get water. And at the well, he talked to the woman. How often do we stop for a water, for a coffee, for a Gatorade? Iced tea. He stopped, and when he stopped, he met someone. We have a lot of occasions in our life where we can meet people and tell them about Jesus. Let's read verse 28 now. And the woman then left her water pot, went into the city, and said to the men. But see, it wasn't just Jesus meeting the woman met other people. And said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they went out of the city and came to him. Let's look down at the end of the passage now. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified and said, he told me all that I ever did. So the Samaritans had come to him. They urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You see, that woman, she went back into the city, and unlike the seeker, unlike Andrew, she didn't go and say, I have a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, one of my husbands. I have somebody that needs to hear it. No, she went back into the city, and everyone she met, all the men, she told them, look out here, there's this man you need to go meet. He's told me everything about my... Everyone she met, she was telling about Jesus. You know, it reminds me of our original passage. Let me remind you of it again. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. You see, our original passage that we came from tonight, Paul, as he's preaching about Jesus in the synagogues on Sunday, but in the marketplace it says, whoever happened to be there. Whoever happened to be sewing a tent beside him, whoever the person was that happened to have a booth that was selling their goods right beside him, whoever was working the line with him, whoever that he bought from that night, the string, whoever came to his booth to ask about a product, whoever happened to be there, Paul met. We meet a lot of people in life. When people meet us, do they meet Jesus? Right next to that original passage, that was Acts 17. Now Acts 18, verse 1. Acts 18, 1. And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. Before we look at the end of this passage, we're going to look at verse 26 in a moment. Before we look at the end of this passage, I want you to think about what we've learned so far. All right, we have Aquila and Priscilla. Paul comes into town and he finds out three similarities they have. One, they're all Jews. They have a similar background of race and religion. Two, they're both tent makers. And so they have every day that they're going to be working the line together. They're going to be selling beside one another. Three, they have a place to stay and he needs a place to stay. And so after we walk away from this occasion, we have now people that he's working side by side with. We have people that he has a common background with. And we also have people that are his neighbors, his roommates, his flatmates. And so what's the big deal? What's the importance here? Well, when we start this passage, we're introduced to these Jews named Aquila and Priscilla. When we end the passage, let's look down at verse 26 now. So he, who's he? Apollos, an eloquent speaker of Jesus, who knew a lot, but he didn't know everything. So he began to boldly speak in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. You see, when Paul met these people, they were tent makers. When Paul met these people, they were his neighbors. They were his landlords. When Paul met these people, they were Jews. But by the time, after a couple of years probably, by the time that Paul and them part paths, they are now not only Christians, they were so strong in their faith and knowledge that they could teach someone else better. Teach the preacher something about God's Word. Why? Because they met Paul. When Paul met them, they met Christ. And so I want us to think about with this that the second thing we can do in marketplace evangelism is meet people. Do they need to know your name when you walk by? No, they don't need to know your name. They need to know His name. As you're going through the markets of the world, as you're in the supermarket, as you're at work, as you're working construction line, as you have a landlord, as you have a next door neighbor, see, all those examples are in Paul right there. As you have someone of a common background, of a common previous faith, of a common race, as you find someone and you meet them, they should meet Jesus. They should learn about Jesus. Let me give you one more example of this. And that is that when you go into the gas station and you're filling your tank, you're also teaching someone about Jesus. When they ask you, would you like da-da-da-da, you also bring up Jesus. When you walk into work and your friend says, how are you today? I'm great because... When you see your landlord and they say, oh, I'm so sorry you're having a bad day as your house is getting flooded. How are you doing so good? You're smiling. There's something wrong with you. You say, let me tell you about Jesus. So in our marketplace evangelism, the second thing we do is we meet people. And the third thing we do, first, seek. Second, meet. Third, we invite people. Invite people. Let's look at our passage. We'll be in one chapter now, Acts chapter 10. We'll be inviting people from Acts chapter 10, verse 24 beginning. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them. You remember Cornelius? He's what we call our first Gentile convert. And we often talk about Cornelius and his household. That's an accurate statement, but let me tell you, there's even more than just that. Because when I think of household, I think of mom, dad, little brother. Here comes Betsy running up. No, it's not just Betsy. It's Uncle John and Aunt Mary. It's cousin Athena. And it's also, oh, here's my friend Max and my co-worker Sapphira. And all of them are over here at my house. How is that? Why? Let's read it. Verse 24. And the following day he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius is waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When the preacher was invited to his house, so were his best friends, so was his aunts, his uncles, his cousins, his relatives. Why? Because he knew he was about to learn something important. He wanted them to know it too. He knew that his life and spirituality was about to change, and he wanted theirs too. He loved them. He cared about them. And so he wanted them to know. He didn't know it yet, but Jesus. He wanted them to know Jesus. Let's keep reading. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted it up, saying, stand up, I am also myself a man. As he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Did you hear that? Peter found many who had come together. How did he find them? Because Cornelius invited them. Cornelius found them, the preacher. Cornelius invited them, the preacher found them. God had told him to go meet Cornelius, and he walks into the house, and here's Aunt Betty and Uncle John and my best friend from work and my dear childhood little buddy. Why? Because Cornelius invited them. Let's keep reading. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. And he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go out of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I ask, then for what reason have you sent for me?" So Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and about the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." And Cornelius said, "Your prayer has been heard. Your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you." So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear the things commanded you by God. What did Cornelius know that day? Cornelius knew, I invited the preacher, and he's going to tell us all the things God wants us to do. And I invited my friends and family to hear it. Let's keep reading. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God hath raised up on the third day and shown him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people, and he testified that he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and dead, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." He invited the preacher. He invited friends and family, and what did the preacher preach? Jesus. And preaching Jesus, he preached salvation, that because you believe in him, you can have your sins forgiven. You see, it's always the same message. Jesus and salvation through Jesus. And what happened? Verse 47. "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost just as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days." And so the third thing I want you to think about in marketplace evangelism is we invite. We're having a softball game after services tonight. I would love for you to come. We're having VBS next week. Please come join me. I'm going to a singing later today. You don't know what a singing is? Well, it's where we sing without the musical instrument, with our voices to the Lord, praising Him and proclaiming His name. I'd love for you to see it, and I can explain it all to you from the Scriptures. I'm having the preacher over for dinner this week. I'm inviting an elder, and we're going out to eat, and I would love for you to meet him. He's a great guy. He's one of our pastors, and I can teach you, or he can explain to you what a pastor is. You see how inviting works? Inviting means you invite someone. You invite them somewhere that someone will be preaching Jesus. Or that someone can explain to them Jesus. So in marketplace evangelism, here's three different ways you can do it. And we're going to have at least 3 days we're going to do it this week. So here's the three ways. One, seek someone. You know someone that is not saved. If I asked you to write it down right now, you'd probably have more than one on your list. You know someone that you love dearly, but yet you've never sought them out to tell them about Jesus. Seek them out. Tell someone about Jesus. Second, what's the second thing we do? The second thing we do is we go and meet someone. When you're checking out at the grocery store and you've got 150 hot dogs and someone says, "How could you ever eat all these?" And you say, "Let me explain to you. We got something going on tonight after church services. It's a softball game and we'd love for you to come. Why don't you come to services with us tonight? You can sit with me and after services I'll take you to the ball game with me." You meet people. And when you meet people, you tell them about Jesus. And then third, you invite people. You invite someone to have an opportunity to meet Jesus. And you see, every single time we have Jesus preached, we have His death, burial, and resurrection. We have how we can die to our sins, be buried and resurrected. I've told you about how Paul did that at the beginning days when things might have been a little easier. I don't know that Paul had very many days that were easy in his ministry, but these might have been easier days. Let me end with one hard day as you think about how you're going to do it this week. Acts chapter 24, beginning in verse 10. "Then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, 'Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself. Because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd in either the synagogues or the city.'" Pause there for a moment. In the synagogues, in the city, in the crowds, you heard right there where he evangelized. But that's not the main point. Let's keep reading. "Nor can they approve the things which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship God of my fathers, believing all things which were written in the law and the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself also strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Now after many years I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with a mob or with atonement. They ought to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me. Or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council. Unless it is for this one statement which I cried out, standing among them concerning the resurrection of the dead and being judged by you this day." You see, all the way down to the moments, the last moments recorded in the Bible, maybe the last moments of Paul's life, as he was on trial, what was he doing? Finding every opportunity. When he met someone, if he's going to meet the governor's going to know about Jesus. He's going to know about his faith. He's going to know about the resurrection of the dead. If he's going to meet his guard that is protecting him or keeping him from getting away, he's going to tell him about Jesus. You see, Paul practice marketplace evangelism, because everywhere he was, whether in Roman imprisonment, whether on trial for his life, whether selling his goods, whether working, whether being with his next-door neighbor, his landlord, he was always evangelizing, preaching Jesus. So when you think to yourself today, how can I evangelize? I can't stand from the pulpit. You still can preach Jesus in the marketplace evangelism. Seek someone, meet someone, invite someone. Let's remember our app. 3 to 5 times this week we're going to do that. And what you'll find is, after just a little while, maybe a couple weeks, couple months, couple years down the road, it's going to be so easy, so normal, that every day you're going to find yourself, just like Paul, evangelizing. As we have our invitation song, this is an opportunity for you to do what? To meet Jesus. Maybe someone invited you here today. Maybe someone sought you out. Maybe somehow you have come to know Jesus. You believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God. You're willing to confess your belief in Him after turning your life towards Him. And based upon that belief, be baptized in the water to wash away your sins. You can represent His death, burial, and resurrection. Die to your sins. Be buried in the water and resurrect. If you're ready to do that, come now as we stand and sing.